Yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, dear listeners of Eagle FM. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Welcome to your favorite program at your favorite radio station, Eagle FM Namibia. This is the platform that we discuss business and economic matters. It's a platform that we look at where we come from as a country, where we are going, where we are standing economically, and what can we do to make sure that we advance our country forward, and what we can do to make sure that at least we bring about those critical conversations which are happening, events which are happening, particularly events which has to do with bread and butter issue, events which are attaching, to our bread and butter issue. This is also a platform where we do critical analysis of institutions, policies. We look at political decisions which are affecting how we eat at home, the issues of bread and butter. And we look also at the strength and weakness of institutions. We analyze the stability in terms of, the institution of governance, stability in terms of financial institutions. We look also at international relations and everything that has to do with where the country is going, so that at the end of the day, the conversation that we bring about those innovative thinking, and also bring about those, better solutions or better mechanism that can complement the implementation of national developmental plans. Because, Namibia, as many other countries in Africa with good national plans, good policies, it has continued to suffer economically. It has continued to suffer degeneration of institution of governance. Look at SOEs. It has continued to suffer in terms of human development, where ordinary Namibians, majority of the ordinary Namibians, are not able to afford the basic needs. And for example, housing, clean water, basic medical care, and also full participation in local and national economic development. That's why when we bring about this conversation, we not only bring about the conversation so that we can speak, but conversation which are affecting human beings, and conversation which will allow us to move to the front line, especially when you look at where we are as a country, to leave that being highest unequal country in the world, second to South Africa. And also, our young people continue to suffer in terms of youth unemployment, lack of opportunities, and lack of courage, and also inability of the system, or the system inability to accommodate these young people, either to workforce or also in terms of them doing their own business. That's why we are saying we do not have the monopoly of wisdom. We do not have the monopoly of wisdom. That's why we are always inviting guests who can contribute to those conversations, guests who can contribute to those conversations, and also those who know how things are working, so that at least they can positively contribute to the development. They can positively contribute to the expansion of the conversation, and also how we can move forward. Therefore, it's also very important to look at what we have for today, and how we can expand that conversation. But before we go to the conversation for today, it's always very important to make sure that you follow us, Eagle FM, follow us in all our social media platform, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and make sure that you like our page, you share our page, because those who are following you will also be able to follow us, and also those who like our page, those who follow you will also be able also to be updated when it's coming to current economic and social developmental affairs. And on top of that, we have the Villager newspaper. We have an e-paper that is, of course, the Villager newspaper, and that is a newspaper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and that is a newspaper that will be able to update you. If you are a researcher, you are interested in development, you are interested in expanding your knowledge, it's always very important to make sure that you subscribe to the Villager newspaper. When you subscribe to the Villager newspaper, that newspaper will be sent to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And to make your life easier, because if you are a business person and you have economic insight, you know what is trading in terms of the economy, you know what is needed, what is on demand, and what are the price of products in this complex global trade market, you'll be able also to see when to invest, when not to invest, and also when to pull down and also when to push, because the market from the economic point of view is always fluctuating, and it depends on how you understand and also read the market. So while we are here, it's also very important to make sure that you have access to our Eagle FM app. Download the app. Don't always complain about the frequency not reaching you. We are moving toward the world of advancement, toward the world of digitalization. That's why we are saying we have Eagle FM app. We have an app that you can download and put into your phone. Download via Play Store. When you download Eagle FM app, it will be easier for you to access the programs which are on air. On top of that, apart from accessing the programs which are on air, you will also be able to access previous programs through podcast. You'll be able to access previous programs through podcast. And when you do that, your life will be more easier, because it could be that you were busy during the time that the program was played on air. But if you have Eagle FM app, you can also go back to that open archive. So apart from that, we have also Imba app. Imba app is a simplification in the digital form of a hymn book, whether it's a Hangano book in Oshuambo, Ochierero, Maimburiro, and many other local Namibian languages such as Osirozi. So if you don't have a hard copy hymn book, don't scratch your head. Do not worry. But make sure that you get access to Imba app, so that you'll be able to have access to that hymn book in the language, in the local language that you prefer, either English, Oshuambo, Sherero, and Afrikaans. Yes, as I was indicating, we are moving to our main conversation for today. And it's always very important to look at what is happening and what is trending. Today, we are going to look at what is the impact of corporate politics and corruption in Namibian SOEs to the Namibian economy. That is a question that we are trying to answer. And for us to unpack this, I got into the conversation with Gabriel Yambo. He's a public policy analyst, and he's a researcher. He's at the University of Namibia. And I'm going to engage him particularly regarding the case of degeneration of Namibia SOEs. When you look at NIDA, Namibia Industrialization Development Agency, recently, the CEO, the acting CEO, was fired, and you ask yourself a lot of questions. The previous was even fired while he was doing probation, did not even get a rightful contract, and a little bit of chaos. You look at Namibia, the SOE just disappeared in thin air. Look at SME Bank, things just disappeared. You look at Transnamib, you don't know where things are going, and various, questions that we need to ask ourselves. But for today, we are going to look at a recent case of NAMCO. The former MD of NAMCO, that is Ims Mulonga, who had been battering this, his former employee, that is NAMCO, was recently arrested with other two former executives within that Namibia Petroleum company. And a lot of questions are being asked to say, what is really wrong with our Namibia SOEs? Is it the act? Are the people who are managing? Is it politicians? What is really going on? So I got in the conversation with public policy analyst Gabriel Yambo, just to help us unpack this. Gabriel, good evening, and how are you doing?
Good evening, David, and thank you for the opportunity. It's a pleasure. And good evening to the listeners.
Yes, let us start with it. Before we go to NAMCO, when you look at what is happening within Namibia SOEs, what do you think is a main problem? Because we are seeing, for example, look at NASFAF, we still have acting CEO being fired on suspicion. What is really wrong with Namibia SOEs or corporate governance in general?
The number one problem for Namibia's SEOs, it's I really point out to political interference by the politician. You know, this is a very big problem here we have in Namibia. And you see, like this case of Namco now.
Yeah.
We are at the core problem of this issue, because these people supposed to be fired a long time ago, but they were protected by the politician in the previous administration. You've seen public of people employed into public offices to work, but instead they are stealing.
And
the politicians are protecting the same people. How do you expect us now to go forward? The signs were there, especially with Namco. You see somebody buying a Range Rover for millions, and they are not asking questions.
But now
you are protecting the person.
Now, what is that? Because you know, when you talk about SOE, you have the MD, for example, or you have a CEO, you have the board, and within that board, you have those who are also influenced or those who are appointed by the ministry. Then you have a little bit of stakeholders, but you also have a line ministry. What is really happening? Because was the Public Enterprise Act not clear enough to say this is what the CEO is doing, this is what the board is doing, this is what the minister is doing? Why is there always confusion?
The confusion, you know, the laws are very clear.
Yeah.
And procedures are very clear.
Yeah.
But now you are in a situation whereby, in the case of Namco now, whereby Mulunga was empowered.
Yeah.
So now everything has to be approved by the board. But because somebody there is empowered by a politician, they make their own decision. They steal money they disregard the board. Because the board of directors, they are supposed to approve everything which is happening in the company. Yeah, but because now I'm powerful, I will do what I want. I don't care what the board says. Yeah. I don't care what the minister says, the ministry says. I don't care what the act says.
So it's about being shielded that, you know, even if I have to report to my boss, who is in this case is a board of directors, it means that when you have power, it's like a protected kid. You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. But this is only because of the political interference. Because if you are just a normal employee at UNAM or NASTA or you know that the law will catch up on you. But because now you know that somebody at the state house, we can spend million into buying some oil blocks in Angola, which is not true. And then we eat up our money amongst ourselves. You will do what you want. So at the end of the day, you know, if I ask myself, should really Namco be broke? Namco, a national entity which deals with petroleum, should it be broke? Are you telling me that the national oil company, for example, in Saudi Arabia, you have Aramco or Aramco?
Yeah.
One of the richest entities in the world. Should they be broke?
No.
Should the government of Saudi Arabia bail them out? It's not possible.
Because this way, the company was supposed to bail out the government.
Yeah. They're supposed to bring in millions into the government coffers. But now we are told Namco should be bailed out. How is that possible?
Yeah. Before we go there, there's a question I want to ask, because when you look at many SOEs, you find somebody who is having, because when you look at, for example, I don't want to mention names, but even Namco, those top executives, some have even, you know, a highest paid person in Namibia is not a president. But when you look at the SOEs, you have highest paid executives. And compared to where we are now as an unequal country, the money that that person is getting per month could be a pension for somebody who work whether within certain institution again. But why so is money a factor in this fight or in this corruption, particularly with salaries and also deals?
I'm telling you, I read the Namibian Sun reported that there's a lady who was getting 180,000 per month.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Per year, that person is getting roughly 2.1 million.
Yeah. And he's not even the head of, he's not even the MD.
He's not the MD. And yeah. We really have, we are dealing with poverty and inequality, lack of housing.
Yeah.
And here we have somebody receiving that ridiculous amount of money,
yeah.
Which I really don't know which books this person read for her to be paid that yeah. amount of money.
Yeah.
What did she do?
Yeah.
It's really a matter of pure corruption. And yeah. I'm really grand. Maybe Her Excellency government will really address some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And now that this arrest are starting, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Now let us look at the cost, because there is always a cost. It's not only NAMCO. We have seen it at Namibia Financial Institution Assistance Fund. We have seen it even in local authority. We have seen it at the NIDA. We have seen it at the NIPAM. It's mostly between the CEO and the board. And these fights, they are costly. And in most cases, when these people are fighting, particularly the top executives, when they are fighting, they are using institution money. And how much do you think Namibia lose in this corporate fight, and also in this conflict between boards and also industrial leaders, whether it's CEOs or managing directors?
Yeah. We are really... last when Mulonga was I think his last case that he won, it costed millions.
Yeah.
And now this, we are talking about taxpayers' money.
Yeah,
yeah, taxpayers' money that are used by these companies to defend petty, corrupt cases.
Yeah,
the money which we could, you know, use for something else.
Mm.
Now, I'm thinking, can't we just get the right leaders at this institution and avoid these corporate fights, because they are costing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money. I mean, if that money would take it, open a school somewhere, you can open 2-3 schools.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's millions of dollars that are getting lost in these corporate fights.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So we really need to address that and avoid this. I think the best way to get competent, ethical people with ethical morals. Education is not everything.
Mm-hmm.
We need people with morals.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about we need people with morals, because some people may also want to ask to say, what is the strength of our state institutions, especially in fighting corruption? We are seeing ACC now is making a move. What do you think is the strength of Namibia institution in fighting corruption? Because it's not only anti-corruption, even, you know, Financial Intelligence Center, you have Bank of Namibia, you have your commercial banks, you have NAMPOL and all those things. But how strong are we as a country in terms of fighting corruption, and what do you think really need to be done?
There's really a very big loophole.
Yeah.
From either from the intelligence, the financial intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
There's a very big loophole which need to be addressed. In my opinion.
Yeah.
This lies with ACC, Anti-Corruption Commission. They're supposed to champion this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But they are not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They wait for us to complain.
Mm-hmm.
When you complain, then is when they act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was ACC? Where was the, you know, these people are doing transactions, but a normal guy like me,
yeah,
just if 50,000 come into my bank account,
yeah,
the bank will call me. I mean, they might even block it.
They will just pick you up tomorrow morning.
They will pick you up.
Yeah.
You, a normal person.
Yeah.
They will question that. But why are they not questioning these big people?
Yeah.
So I therefore believe ACC have to jump it, and ACC is weak.
Now, looking at what they are doing now, because people have been saying ACC is a toothless bulldog, but now they are making bold moves, and they are saying there's still a lot of things which need to happen. But there is this thing to say, you know, don't pray for your enemies to go down, because you end up, crying, because some of them can be your family members or your close friends. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is that corruption is there, and
yeah,
people are being also seen. What really need to be done? Because I, in my own capacity, I believe to say no, arresting people and all these things will not really solve this problem. What do we really need to do as a country to make sure that we have strong institution, we have clear act, and we don't enter into this, and we are very clear about what we are doing, especially in terms of governance and also public resources.
Yeah, no, the thing is, as Namibians,
yeah,
the Prime Minister said, when you are elected into office,
yeah,
you are not elected there to go eat.
Yeah.
You are elected there to save the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You are an MD of a national petroleum company, and yeah, you are eating.
Yeah.
What is that?
Mm.
So I therefore believe we should never defend corruption, because now your family member is eating,
mm,
is stealing, then you are saying you want to defend corruption. No. We must be in public offices, in institutions,
yeah,
in government companies to serve the nation and not eat. So even if you are my brother and you are stealing,
mm,
I must not defend you because you are my brother.
Yeah.
You know, this takes us back to the African tradition. When you were raised up that don't steal,
mm,
you must uphold that when you take office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe the last three, what do you think need to be done? Because I'm always having a different opinion, especially viewing to say, getting engaged with some of ACC officials, indicating, yeah, to me that they do not have capacity, that they do not have enough funds, and also indicated to me that they do not have enough, infrastructure across the country to do their job. Apart from now, in that case, what do you think need to be done to strengthen Namibia state institutions? And
I think we need to hire the right people.
Yeah.
People with morals, people with ethics, not just masters and PhDs.
Yeah.
And also, on the case of ACC,
yeah,
it's also a matter of leadership.
Yeah.
That ACC leadership need to be... they need to retire and go home and put in new blood. There was a guy who was moved to the police at ACC. He was doing a fantastic job and he was replaced. And I believe that politicians, especially, they remove that backup from ACC so that they can stop investigating people. And we only now have a leadership which they're not doing their job. It's true that they are not funded. The government need to increase the funds.
Yeah.
But the political will and also the leadership of ACC itself,
yeah,
they need to investigate. You see people buying cars and they are not questioning them. You think they got the money from where? They really need to change. We need a good anti-corruption commission, which investigate, which prosecute.
Mm.
Now we are told, ICC is saying the prosecutors need to deal with cases.
Yeah.
Just excuses.
Yes, maybe last three before I let you go. There is this thing to say, according to International Convention on Combating, yeah, Corruption, when you when you are very serious about fighting corruption in the country, there is a threshold to say that country must spend at least 1% of its GDP to anti-corruption agency or anti-corruption institution to make sure that, you know, they are very serious and they combat, you know, corruption in the country. But when you look at it in Namibia, it's not even 0.9.
Yeah. What
do you think need to be done in terms of adherence to that international convention?
This one is a challenge now because you also, in Namibian case, you see, we have so many problems.
Yeah.
So I think it's where now the leadership will wait up and say, oh, we have this unemployment, we have housing, we have the schools need to be built. Mm. But again, we need to fight corruption. How, when you balance now, there you... Then you make a choice.
Yeah, because corruption save money. When you are fighting corruption, you are also saving money. But giving ACC 116 million and you are declaring corruption as treason is also a bit of contradictory. That's my view on that.
Yeah. No, you are right. You are right. 100%.
Yeah.
You are right. But it's just in the medium case, we are having so many problems. But yeah. I think also, you know, that money you save from corruption, then you use it for other projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I believe if we hire the right people, the governor should be an ethical person.
Yeah.
Constituent councillor should be an ethical person. State institution, we hire ethical people with moral and also qualified people.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can also save it because at the end of the day, these people, they will not steal. Yeah, then you end up saving.
Yes, Gabriel Yambo, thank you very much for joining us and thank you very much for your input.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure and enjoy the evening.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are looking at economic development. We are looking at, the case of NAMCO, but Namibia in general, to say what is the impact of grand corruption in the Namibian economy? Apart from us speaking to Gabriel Yambo, I also got into the conversation with a known political analyst, that is Zakaria Johannes, just to help us unpack this, situation, to say what need to be done, what is the impact of grand corruption or corporate politics and corruption into the Namibian economy, and what need to be done also to make sure that at least we assist where we can assist, and also the country can move on. Zakaria Johannes, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment. How are you doing?
Good evening and thank you for
the... Yes, let us look at the issue of NAMCO. Before we go to the issue of NAMCO, we have seen, and I have asked a lot of analysts and research about this, what is really wrong with Namibia SOEs? Because look at what happened to NIDA just 1 week ago. The CEO is fired. Look at the Namibia Financial Assistance Student Fund. They still have an acting CEO. Look at NIPAM, which is an institution which was supposed to be, provide the governance to public sector. There have been a lot of fights there. Look at various institutions. Look at Transnamib, where it is. Air Namibia disappeared. What is really wrong with our SOEs? And just that baseline before we go to the main content.
It's a result of connections, that what we call connections.
Yes.
Of normalizing. Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
Normalizing, recruiting in positions.
Yeah.
Maybe I would say.
What's really wrong with our SOEs in Namibia?
Yeah, I would say it's a result of putting up comrades in positions. Because we want to benefit at the end of the day from the companies.
Yeah.
And the companies are no more operating as they are supposed to operate.
Yeah.
We can't really say that's what is happening because we don't have evidences and all that, but rigidly, if one can observe, you would say, according to what is happening, it seems like we are not putting people in positions because they deserve to be there, but we are putting people in positions because we want to have ways of getting access to the funds. And the other one is the normalization of having, so to say, connections. You know the danger of connections, what we call connections. That's a danger of connections.
Is it not the networking? What is the difference between connection and networking?
I would say
yeah.
Networking is when perhaps you say no. I know Mr. David.
Yeah.
Therefore, maybe when Mr. David is having a position at their work,
yeah,
I would throw in my CV.
Yeah.
But I have to go through the normal channels.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I feel like connections, it yeah. goes beyond that. It goes beyond this, that I know Mr. David,
mm-hmm.
but before when I throw in my CV, Mr. David is going to talk to a person that he knows someone, who knows someone.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, mm-hmm. When I'm going to get that job, I'll get that job knowing that I'll make a way for Mr. David to get access to some funds that are there
mm-hmm.
or to some resources that are there. Make things easy. And then that's why you find yourself in this program,
mm-hmm.
that because of that channel of communication,
mm-hmm.
it's easy for you to get access to resources or to certain things
yeah.
without even following the necessary procedures, because in the whole pipe,
yeah.
they are comrades, and things are that's how I feel like things have been done that way.
So you are saying Namibia is like South Africa, there is an issue of cadre deployment instead of those who are qualified.
Exactly.
Yeah,
although they are qualified,
yeah.
you know, you can have a qualification,
yeah,
but when you enter the way you are having a certain position,
yeah,
it's not only because of your qualification,
yeah.
but also because you are put there as a gate to some certain resource, some certain benefit for the people.
So it means that those who got some critical position at SOEs, not all mm-hmm. of them, some of them, they are there working for other people, they are there gatekeeping for other people,
they are there for the corporates, and it's happening in Namibia, and it's happening in South Africa. Some of those guys are there. Things can happen the way they are happening if that's not the reason. Just see how things happen, and that's not the only cases. We cannot see that, okay. that is happening.
Come again.
Okay, these are just alleged cases. Okay, let's say that is what is happening, but
yeah.
it seems like, yeah.
Sagalia, let us look at apart from now CADA deployment, and also apart from SOEs being run by gatekeepers, let us look at the issue of NAMCO. And you have the MD, he has been I've been following what is happening, and he has been to me very tough, and also it was very also difficult for people to point out what he did wrong until recently. What really keep people in Tupa for a long time, even critical bodies like ACC, find it very difficult to challenge a person of that caliber? What really keep these people so powerful? You can say a person did something, but you cannot prove it, even in a court of law. What is wrong? Is it the problem with Public Enterprise Government Act, or what is really wrong, or there are many loopholes in the system?
Yeah, first of all, I would say many loopholes in the system. Because the other thing again is the governing of comrades. You know, when you talk about comrades, there's something that we call comrades.
And
comrades.
Just stand in one position, eh? Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I would say, first of all,
yeah.
There are loopholes in the system.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
But can say there's something that you call comradeship.
Yeah.
Whereby you find the whole system is run by individuals who know each other,
yeah.
And if there's no any patriotic someone in that system,
yeah,
it's very, very difficult for you to find out what is happening in there, because you find in many, and it's common in African politics, that in many of those systems,
yeah,
individuals are there to cover up each other, and it's difficult for you to figure out what that particular individual did, because from the those who are supposed to hold them accountable,
yeah,
to them themselves and everyone that is involved in there, they are covering up each other. Mm. And it's where you come to an extent of asking the power of the judicial system. Most of the people, again, that run that judicial system,
yeah,
are working together with some political giants.
Yeah.
And then the political giants are working together with those guys that are running the state enterprises.
Yeah.
And it's like that. It's like a circle. And for you to enter that circle, you must be patriotic enough, or else that's why you see cases are lost. What? It's very difficult if you find yourself in that system.
So it means that people are dining together.
Mm, they are dining on the same table.
Now, because there is this thing to say, when you are fighting corruption, corruption will also fight you back. And there's also this thing of the danger of a systemic corruption, because they're saying, if you are fighting corruption, it has happened in Nigeria when there's one brave woman who was fighting corruption. Then by the time you uproot the whole deep root of that corruption, you find out that the investor who was funding the private school that you are sending your kid to is also part of the thing that is involved. And how difficult is uprooting the system which is corrupt? And how can it be done to save Namibian economy?
I would say it's very difficult. And in many cases, you can only do that, number one, if you are not part of the system. And you know, number two, you must be clean. Because like you said, when you are fighting corruption, corruption will also fight you.
Yeah.
And you must be clean. Because if you are not clean and then you fight those guys will also find your dirty work that you have done somewhere.
Yeah.
And they will come for you. And number two is that you must be protected. Because we have seen it can go to a lot of things. Like when you are fighting them, they will also come up with a lot of stories to say, no, you did this, you two did this. And you must be careful. They can set you up. Even if you are clean, you might find they can even pay someone to go in your house and they put in some drugs and then they will send the police officers, you understand,
they'll
to come and search. And then they will say, And they will say, oh, we find these drugs in your house. You are claiming that you are clean. So you must be very, very, very careful. And you must be... you must also have some kind of strong backgrounds to back you up.
Now, because we are seeing even when you are looking when you are looking at South Africa currently, we see the commissioner of KZN, Commissioner Mkwanazi, who is fighting the minister. And indicating that he's cooperating with criminals, which is also turning upside down, particularly in South African politics. To say now, a small country like Namibia, where we have SOEs, which were supposed to deliver, do business on behalf of the government and so save the people. In this case, how can the governance system of Namibia SOEs being strengthened and also protect the country's resources? Because of, you know, we have seen a lot of money being spent in illegal affairs, and some of this money are being also spent coming from the SOE. So how would that thing to be how can we strengthen that system of governance, particularly with Namibia prastatals and SOEs?
Yes, it's really an unfortunate situation that we are in, having experienced this. But I would say we should look at our recruitment process. How do we recruit people that are SOEs? What is the process there, so that we can make sure that at the end of the day, we avoid people recruiting only comrades? And then if you put up anyone, just a person who is qualified for the position but doesn't have any links that are involved, I think that would be number one, because majority of the people that are running our enterprises or government enterprises, they are linked to the main political elites, and then that's what make it easy for the political elite to dominate them. Or some of them, they are linked to. But in the newspapers, if you read, these guys, they are just families. Some of them, they are related.
Okay.
So we should avoid such things. And then number two, to hold them accountable, I think we should come up with mechanisms that look at the reports that are passed by AA, how the money was spent, who was given what tender, how the tender was given. I think we should come up with those strategies, the checks and balances, to make sure that such things do not happen. Because if you look at these cases, they're starting from 2017, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But where were the reports? How are we holding these guys accountable? How are we making sure that the process or whatever is happening, the procurement processes, they are legal?
Uh-huh.
Because if there are checks and balances in place, I think for me, it will be easy for us to get these guys easily.
Now, you know, ACC is moving its muscle. A lot of, in the past 2 months, a lot of criticism was being, you know, presented. We've seen the minister of Eben. We have seen people are coming to public criticizing ACC. Some are saying the director general must go. That is their opinion. But do you think if ACC is capacitated, can do its job? Because we have seen what it has done. And do you think it can do more than that?
Yeah. I think it should do, or it can do more than that, but I would say objectively, ACC must do more than what they are doing. It's not enough. Looking at the work that they've done so far, but I think for the sake of operation and administration, I think the ACC general need to step down, and then we have a new person who will give us another perspective. He has done his work. It's not really a matter of criticizing a person or what a person has done, but it's a matter of moving forward with an institution that was supposed to hold people accountable and to make sure that corruption cases have come down in the country. I think I would support those that are saying the men should step down. It's such institutions. You don't need people that will stay for a long period of time, because the more you stay for a long period of time at a certain position, the more you become knowing people here and there, and the more it's easy for you to fall for temptations of becoming corrupt and covering up for people and all that. And this thing of resources being spent on these enterprises instead of those resources to be channeled into critical issues like education, like health, you know that. And I'm saying this regarding the report of today that I think of yesterday, that NAMCO, now they want a bailout of about 700 million or 800 million. It's too much.
Yeah.
Instead, that money could be spent on education, on creating employment and all those kind of things. Building maybe schools so that we can employ these unemployed teachers that we are seeing in the streets.
Yeah. Now, let us look at the broader scale, because Namibia now, as we are speaking, is downgraded by World Bank to lower middle-income country based on its economic performance. But still, we are the second highest unequal country in terms of economic distribution. Let us look at some of the salary scale, particularly when you look at somebody being paid, is an executive, paid 180,000 per month, which is equivalent to maybe salaries of 30 people or even 40 people. And now, do you think there is some way that we are not doing right, especially in terms of our governance act, in terms of fighting this inequality? I do not have a problem with a person being paid that amount of money, but comparing to the structure where we are in terms of inequality, do you think something is not right, especially we find SOEs who are, even, you know, leaders of SOEs are paid more than the president of the country?
Yeah, I think that's the problem that we are facing. The inequality is caused because of that Namibia is a small country, David.
Yeah.
But the way we are dividing we are sharing our resources, it's really unfair or unequal.
Yeah.
And imagine a person getting that amount. And maybe from that amount, there are also some benefits on top of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's someone who even a month can pass. That person doesn't even get up to 300 or even just 100. People are... So I think I personally agree with you that it's unfair that people are getting such amount of money
And now the question is, what type of job that they are doing, right? What type of job that they are doing that is even maybe moving the country forward? Because at the end of the day, the people that we pay much are the people that are putting us down, because the money that we are paying them was supposed to be channeled on those development programs, but we are now paying this individual.
Yes. Yes, now. Now, looking forward to avoid such things, because we are always not happy when you are reporting about negative events happens, because we are always trying to look at the issues of bread and butter and how this is impacting our development. Looking forward, just as an analyst, what do you think can be done? Because I've been asking these questions to say, in terms of not only about corruption, but our late president, may his soul rest in peace, Dr. Genkop, used to say system, process, and institution. When you have a strong system, you have a strong institution, you have a process which is connecting institution and this system, then you have good governance. Now, how are we going to reach that level and also at least find our country at an advanced stage? Because looking at what is happening now, we have a new administration in power, and WADA is not ending. Cases are still coming up, obstacles are still coming up. But how can we make sure that system, process, and institutions are strengthened and also are in place to make sure that we look at our advancement of the country?
I would say, when we say a system, we are talking about an artifact here. It's people who design the system.
Yeah.
It's people who work within the system.
Yeah.
And it's people who can change the system.
Yeah.
So I think it's up to us as Namibians to make sure that. But the problem number one that we have, David, is that we have laws, we have policies, we have rules and regulations that we don't follow. Number one, we should develop a culture of what the law says, what the policy says. Instead of just us, because we are friends in the office, against my friend is violating the rules or the regulations of the office, but I'm just quiet because he's my friend, or my boss is violating the rules. And then this goes to young people. When we enter those offices, or when young people enter those offices, sometimes you can see a person is a lawyer.
Yeah.
But they see that their bosses are violating the rules in that office or the boss of that office. But because you are to lose the job, which sometimes is necessary because we don't have unemployment rate high in Namibia, but people are quiet. There are people in those offices that can tell, they know that people are violating their rules. Because if things are being done the way they are supposed to be done, I don't know if we are going to have these problems. These problems are coming up because we have laws in position, but we are not following the laws. We are not doing things procedural as they are supposed to be. That's number one. Mm. But number two, if they are where they are responsible, it's hard time that we come up with and laws that will make sure that those responsible are taken care of, or they are out. Process. I think laws, like the laws, can be made. A system is just an artifact. We can come up with solutions to those problems. Some of these problems are created.
Sagadia Johannes, thank you very much for your time, and also thank you very much for your analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, that was Zakaria Johannes. He's a political analyst. Was looking at Namibia SOEs, particularly the case of NAMCO, and also how we can improve our system. I know it was cutting here and there, but we got the message. We got the message. We got what he's saying, to say, if you want to move forward, a system, process, and institution that we are talking about, they were made by people. We can always come up with alternative ways of doing things. We can also come up with alternative ways of, making sure that that law is implemented well, and also to make sure that if the law is not working for the people, it's not the law for the people, then it should be, be replaced with the effective laws, and also to make sure that we strengthen the institutions. No, now this conversation is brought on the economic ground to say conversations like this. We look at what are some of the impact these things are going to have on national development. We look at the impact of what are these things going to do to the country's standard, because we are already downgraded, we are already highest in terms of unemployment, and we are already having a lot of challenges that we have as a country. So looking at where we are now and what we do, so it's very important to make sure that at least we find better ways. That's why we bring about this conversation. So dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. Today we are looking at how can we what is the impact of corporate politics, corruption in Namibian economy, particularly Namibia SOEs, and how can we strengthen Namibia SOEs. So with this word, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment. It's always a pleasure to be here. And do not forget to download the Eagle FM app. Do not forget to download the Eagle FM app. And also do not forget to download the Imba app. And like our page on Facebook, on X, Instagram, and LinkedIn, so that we'll be able to update you with economic, governance, and international relation news. And do not forget your go-to-go e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper, which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. So stay tuned with other programs. Stay tuned, and bye for now. Until next time.